abortion. Holy Scripture is clear. The church is called to stand up for the poor and speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. And who are poorer or muter than preborn children? In Divine Heartbeat, listening to God's heartbeat for preborn children, Pastor Timothy Fan delivers a prophetic call to the contemporary evangelical church to awaken from its apathetic slumber toward the cause of preborn children. You can get your copy of this clarion call to care for the least of these at www.divineheartbeat.com. That's www.divineheartbeat.com.
Well, tonight we're just going to think about one small verse from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 4. The scripture says, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. In Bethlehem, the waters of the little town are bitter and delicious. The bitter waters are extremely bitter, much like brackish water in a thirsty man's cup. The delicious waters are pleasantly delightful. Not unlike rain showers on the farmer's drought-cracked acreage. The city of David, which is called Bethlehem, is bitter. It is a Judean village whose fields and garden plots have been watered with human tears. At the same time, Bethlehem, the small, unassuming village sitting just southwest of Jerusalem, is delightful. It is the fountainhead of the delightful waters of all gospel joy. So first, Bethlehem is bitter. There is salt in the soil of Bethlehem, and not because of ocean water deposits. Rather, the salt is from the tears of those who have mourned at Bethlehem. For instance, Jacob the patriarch poured his tears into the ground at Bethlehem after Rachel, his beloved wife, died just outside of Bethlehem. Genesis 35, verse 19 says, "So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is, Bethlehem." Also, Naomi was from Bethlehem. Therefore, when both Naomi and Ruth's husbands died when they were in Moab, Ruth accompanied Naomi back to Bethlehem. Yet Naomi was weeping. Instead of wanting to be called Naomi, she told the citizens of Bethlehem to call her Mara, which means bitter. Her mourning was a bitter mourning. This is Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Now the two of them, that's Naomi and Ruth, went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty afflicted me?" Many bitter tears have been sown at Bethlehem, sown into the soil of Bethlehem. It was at Bethlehem that Jesse was made to part with his son David when he was forced to send David off into the service of King Saul. And it was at Bethlehem that David's fighting men buried the slain Asahel, who is David's nephew, and placed him in his father's tomb. Like the waters of the place that was called Marah, where the Israelites stopped during their exodus out of Egypt. The waters of Bethlehem are also very bitter. And so for Mary too. Even for Mary, Bethlehem is bitter. According to the law of Moses, remember, a woman accused of adultery was made to drink the bitter water of curse that would expose her adultery if she were found guilty, if she was indeed guilty. And here in Bethlehem, Mary's womb is protruding with a baby about to be born. And yet she's only betrothed and not yet fully married to Joseph. And therefore the people of Bethlehem hastily curse her as an immoral woman, even as she carries the Son of God in her womb with great and perfect innocence in that realm, in the realm of purity. So Bethlehem then is bitter for Mary. Yet the worst is still ahead for Bethlehem. The worst is still to come. About 2 years later, as Brother David read so well, King Herod will seek to kill the baby boy of Mary. However, having been outwitted by the wise men, Herod will become enraged, and he will consequently fill all of Bethlehem with many bitter and unabated tears. Matthew 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under. According to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Can you taste then the bitter tears of Bethlehem? Do you see Joseph weeping tears of frustration and sorrow since there is no room for them in the inn? Can you see Mary, frightened and lonely, crying out in labor pains and giving birth in an animal shelter? Do you hear Jesus, the baby, crying loudly with little baby tears tumbling down his tiny baby cheeks as he cries over the coldness of the sinful world into which he has been born? And 2 years later, after Herod's murderous decree has been fulfilled by Herod's cruel soldiers, do you hear Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted? Bethlehem is full of bitter weeping and bitter tears. How then, O Church of the Living God, do we define Christmas? Must it always be merry and bright? Should Bethlehem really be viewed quite idolatrously as the location of the magical hot springs of the power of positive thinking? Or is not Bethlehem the place of refuge for those who weep and mourn? Is not the manger also the sanctuary of God for the sick, the feeble, the blind, the poor, the outcast, and the persecuted? Is it not in Bethlehem that those who fear God sow their bitter tears of sorrow, all in the hope that they shall, when the kingdom of God comes, reap a harvest of gladness and joy? It is good, O Church, to weep at Christmas time. Bethlehem embraces and comforts all of those who sorrow and cry and mourn in the fear of God at Christmas time. And therefore, for those who are outside of Christ, who neither know God nor belong to God, Bethlehem is the place where you must come and weep bitter tears of repentance over your sins. You have grieved God. You have grieved Him. Your sins have crucified the Son of God who was once laid in the manger at Bethlehem. Therefore, the town of Bethlehem calls you to weep over your hatred towards God and your crimes against God. It calls you to repent now and be born again now. Born of the Holy Spirit through faith in the forgiving grace of the gospel of Christ, lest you recklessly refuse God's mercy towards sinners and find yourself one day forever cast out of the kingdom of God. Those who laugh now in the revelry of their sins will weep then when Christ returns in His eternal glory. For those who turn to Him in repentance and faith, there is the hope of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Yet for those who celebrate Christmas without mourning over their sins against Christ, without treasuring Christ and submitting to Him and submitting to all of His holy commandments, they will mourn bitterly and everlastingly in hell. In Bethlehem, there are salty waters. There are waters that are bitter. However, there are also to be found in Bethlehem some of the most delicious waters in all of the world. There is a well in Bethlehem full of sweet water. It is the well from which battle-weary David, at a time of great thirst, longed to drink. David longed for the well of Bethlehem. 1 Chronicles 11, verse 17. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." There is a well, a fountain of sweet water at Bethlehem. God's grace, His covenantal love, springs up ever so sweetly from the well at Bethlehem. For at Bethlehem, it was at Bethlehem that the women blessed Naomi. At Bethlehem, Naomi blessed God for His mercy towards her and no longer wanted to be called Mara, which means bitter, but rather just plain Naomi, which means pleasantness or sweetness. David knew the sweet, delicious waters of Bethlehem. The well of Bethlehem by the city gate was sweet to David. Its waters, those waters reminded him of all of his childhood discipleship under the loving spiritual tutelage of his father Jesse. And also it was at Bethlehem that Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed David as the future king of Israel, and thus the sweet, delicious Spirit of the Lord came upon David there at Bethlehem and remained upon him from that day forward. Yet what is it that makes the waters of Bethlehem so delicious and sweet? Surely in the dry and weary land where there is no water, Bethlehem is an oasis of refreshment, but why? Is it not because out of Bethlehem flow the delicious, life-giving waters of the gospel of God in Christ? It comes out of Bethlehem. Micah 5, verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old, from everlasting." Bethlehem is the city of David. In Bethlehem, the sweet living waters of Christ are tasted by outcast, weary shepherds who are longing for the justice of God and for the redemption of Israel. Luke 2:10-12. "And the angel said to the shepherds, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, in Bethlehem, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.'" How sweet are the fountain waters of the gospel of Christ the Lord. Well, they are not sweet, but bitter to the wicked. Those who call evil good and good evil, and those who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, Those will never delight in the sweet waters of Bethlehem. They will taste those waters, reject them out of their developed taste for wickedness, and think them to be waters of death rather than waters of eternal life. The cowardly, unbelieving, sinners, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall never bring themselves to drink from these waters of the gospel unto the eternal worship of God. Still, for those who fear Christ and give glory to Him, the waters of Bethlehem shall always be delicious, without ever diminishing in their delightfulness. The well of the gospel of the eternal glory of Christ Jesus shall be for them the promise of the future removal of all death, all sorrow, and all weeping. In heaven there shall be no more bitter tears. Rather, in Christ's eternal kingdom, the sweet waters of the gospel flowing from the well at Bethlehem shall be as a fountain of the water of life given freely to all who thirst. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of the Holy Scriptures. You can find more resources at our website, www.godcenteruniverse.org. You may also send correspondence to us at the following address: P.O. Box 461978, Aurora, Colorado 80046. God Centered Universe is a faith-driven ministry that exists to encourage the church in family-based discipleship, and to call the church to continue trembling joyfully at God's word.